The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to this week's episode of Zach on Film. It's another Zach on Film summer movie special. It's just Steven and I this week.
Yes.
And we had the pleasure, the grand opportunity, the opportunity of a lifetime to go watch Terminator Genisys.
Oh, boy.
It was an experience to talk about.
Well, first of all, it's a time travel movie. So
yes, and I knew you...
That does score some points for me.
I did go into that, and I remembered, oh, yeah, this is time travel, because, like, aren't all Terminator movies time travel on some level?
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm like, oh, so that's a couple
brownie
points.
But this one literally had, you know, in the original Terminator movie, they just appear. They just say that they sent me back in time, and it appears. In the second Terminator movie, I think it essentially runs the same way as the first one, where the T-1000 shows up.
Right.
Now, T-3, I forget what went on in that, which is probably a good thing. And what was the one where the...
I don't remember T3.
Then there was the one that had John Connor as a kind of a older teenager, and he was down in the bunker when the bombs went off.
Is that with the most, like, in 2009?
No. Gosh, I'd have to look up and see all the Terminator movies.
I didn't realize. I thought there was three.
Terminator 2 Judgment Day, Terminator 2 Salvation.
Salvation.
That was the one that came out in 2009.
Okay.
And that's the one that has
Batman in it, right?
Yeah. That's the one that has Christian Bale in it.
Yeah, Christian Bale.
Yeah.
Did you watch that?
I did.
Bad?
It wasn't very good.
Okay.
And Terminator 3 is The Rise of the Machines, which is the one that where they get trapped down in the bunker when everything blows up. Spoiler alert. But really not a very good movie either.
So, out of all the Transformers movies, before this one,
all the
you're
Terminator
saying
movies,
half of them are decent?
To be honest, the Terminator
is
the best one in the franchise, even though a lot of people would say Terminator 2 Judgment Day is better just because they amped everything up. There is something about, and that's what I really, really thought about when I was watching Terminator Genisys, was that there's something about the 1984 look.
Mm-hmm.
That really works for the Terminator because it's, I don't know how much of that you've ever seen.
I think I've seen about half of it. I think I've seen all of Judgment Day and that's it.
How come you didn't watch all of the first one?
I don't know. I probably watched it on TV when watching it.
It's worth seeing unedited because it's got some boobies and all that good stuff in there.
Okay.
But there's something about the aesthetic of the Terminator that's very dark and very gritty. Like it's not quite the aesthetic of Blade Runner, but it's in that same vein, but without all the visual special effects.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Genisys does is it attempts to recreate a lot of the scenes from the first movie, especially at the beginning, which they do it. I mean, they show a lot of the stuff that I'm like sitting in the theater going, yep, I remember that. Now this is going to happen. And then that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of the difference. It's kind of the difference of going to see the movie Grease or going to see the movie Little Shop of Horrors and then going and seeing a high school performance of Grease or Little Shop of Horrors. How it's the same story.
Yes.
But it's just not right.
It's not there.
Because I would argue, go and you could probably find this on YouTube. Go and look for the clip from the original Terminator movie where he shows up naked at the observatory and they're making fun of him. And look at how dark and gritty that scene is. And then you look at Terminator Genisys where they try to recreate it. And it's like they've like, let's add 15 more lights to the scene and really brighten it up. It's either that or maybe they can't get it dark enough because sensors are so good these days. Because it just looks really, really bright compared to the original. It's like, well, they're missing... They got the story part there, but they're missing the aesthetic part of it. And I that was kind of my thought from the whole Terminator Genisys movie is it's just missing something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And you just think that mainly from the aesthetic point of view that's missing something?
I don't know who's going around online now with the article that says proof that special effects haven't gotten any better since like 2001 or 1999 or whatever it is, and they're pointing to the Star Wars movie. The special effects in this are not... I mean, when the T-1000 appeared and it was all shiny and chrome and it was... what's his name? Was it not Patrick Dempsey? But whoever the guy was that played the T-1000, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, holy cow, look at the effects and everything that went into this.
Yeah, I watched part of that recently. It still holds up. Those effects, they're amazing.
And then you look at this and it's like, you know, in Terminator 2 Judgment Day, they blew up Los Angeles and they did this whole miniature and, you know, tried to recreate the look of the old World War II bombing films that you see from the nuclear blast films. That's mm-hmm. what they were referencing when they were trying to make the city of Los Angeles blow up in Terminator 2. This one, it's all CG, and it's like, well, let's just get down into the city and let's see everything blow up and let's see this and this. And it's like, well, gosh, you guys really have, again, lost something as they're making the jump from the original to this odd retelling of the Terminator and Terminator 2.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but this movie started, they went to L.A. and then to San Francisco?
Yeah, then to San Francisco.
Right, because this is what I thought in the beginning, talking about aesthetics, is that back in the 80s, they still had the original lampposts, light bulbs in L.A.
They just switched them
last summer to the new...
It was actually a little bit
two summers ago.
Two summers ago
to the new LED blue bulbs. Mm-hmm. And so... You really do have
that
a really
does
clean,
really brighten
crisp,
up a lot of,
crisp mm-hmm. look to the city instead of this dark and kind of orange glow that's kind of rusty looking.
I can see that. But still, even when they're shooting up at Griffith Park at the observatory,
mm-hmm.
they can block a lot of the stuff out in that location, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know. I agree with you that, and there was a movie that, maybe it was a movie or maybe it was this one, that I saw and I was thinking of the exact same thing about, I remember they changed all the lights out, that's why this looks a lot better. It was either in the trailer for one of the things that we saw before the movie.
Didn't we see a movie earlier that was based in L.A. this summer?
Well, there was Earthquakeville.
Oh, yeah.
And that was also San Francisco.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Which they also destroyed San Francisco twice this year.
Oh, they have?
Yeah.
Yeah. California's taking a beating.
Ugh, poor California. I feel sorry for you. Drought and fire and all that stuff. Perfect temperatures right next to the ocean.
Ugh, no water.
No water, overpopulation. Ugh, really feel bad for you.
It's a real up for grabs where you want to be in California right now.
So maybe it is just switching out those lights that's changed a lot of that aesthetic, but still... Even if you're shooting in RAW, which mm-hmm. I'm imagining they have to be, because this was not shot on film.
No.
You can color correct all that stuff to get the look that you want.
Yeah.
There's something about the look of this that's just too... I guess I've said this before on Zach on Film. When you look at Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope,
mm-hmm.
it came out in 1977, and it has this kind of dirty look to it. Then when you look at Empire Strikes Back, everything looks a little brighter and shinier, and it's like they put a coat of shellac on everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this movie feels like. Mm. In fact, everything after the Terminator feels like, let's put a coat of shellac on this, let's make it look really expensive and really shiny,
mm-hmm.
so that people will go in and go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Do you think having to do some body doubles...
I did think that was rather interesting.
Yeah. Because they really de-aged for half the movie. He was mm-hmm. de-aged because they send back the first one and it's like, oh, look, it's kind of 1980s Arnold. If
it was
plastic.
A pretty good. Well, the young Terminator, the mm-hmm. young Arnold in those shots looked a lot like the Terminator in the scenes where he has to cut out his eye in the original Terminator, mm-hmm. and you can tell that there's a lot of makeup on the face.
Yeah.
So that's what that reminded
me
of. Now, this isn't the first time, though, that they've cloned Arnold for a Terminator movie. They did it in Terminator Salvation, because at the end of that movie, T-800 or whatever Arnold's model is, comes out and fights at the end of that movie, too.
Oh,
and they had to go back to the original castings of Arnold's body to recreate the suits and recreate the CGI that they used in Terminator Salvation. So it wouldn't surprise me that they were using that again here. And I know that there's a couple of online videos of how they de-aged Arnold for this. But, you know, de-aging stuff, they're using that a lot. They've used it in the X-Men movies with Professor Xavier and Magneto. So that's pretty common. And I think that's still pretty cool. Mm. I don't think it detracted from the movie. Those effects didn't.
Oh, you don't think so?
I didn't think that those did. It was a little odd. It was a little odd right at the beginning where you had middle-aged Terminator and young Terminator fighting each other at the very beginning. That, yeah, because some of that made it look like they were maybe cutting out stuff from maybe the original film, but obviously that wasn't the case. Mm-hmm. That looked a little odd in a couple of sequences. Because there was a one tracking shot where you pan behind the Terminator, naked Terminator, and you're going around the city and he's walking. Mm-hmm. And if he was walking in a straight line, you would see more of his back. You would see more of the back of his body. You would kind of wrap around his body as you were moving forward towards the city. But the city, the background moves, but you just stay locked on his fixed background, which means he's walking in an arc, which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
If you think about the camera movement in order to keep his back aligned as everything's turning, it means he would have to be walking in an arc. I think about these things in the movie.
Yeah.
So if I'm thinking about it, obviously it's not very well done.
Sure.
And then, you know, beyond the effects and beyond those kinds of things, the story I didn't think was very good.
No, the story was very all over the place with plot holes the size of Terminators.
Yes.
And it left me not caring about a single character at the end.
Right. No, I didn't care about anybody either because, you know, this movie has Doctor Who in it. Doctor Who's
Did you know he was in there?
I did late in the, probably about a month or two ago because posters came out with him on it. And everyone was like, what's Matt Smith doing on this? What's he doing in this movie? What's he doing in this movie? And then it was revealed that he was.
Oh, really?
He was and I kind of tuned out about that point, but it was either that he was a Terminator or that he was Skynet. And I think it was the he was Skynet part that I was like, oh, okay, well, whatever. Dumb. and so I just kind of moved on. But in Doctor Who, they're always like, well, are these fixed points in time that you can't change? And I think that they screwed with the time travel part a little bit too much and ruined the part at the end where, why does John Connor have to go revisit his young self and remind him to never forget about Genesis's Skynet?
He shouldn't need to.
He shouldn't need to, right?
Because they were saying, well, you're changing the past and the future and all of your actions.
You have moved.
So if you did that, you're
fine. As Doc Brown says, you've moved to an alternate timeline. And by the end of the movie, they're into the third or fourth alternate timeline. And it shouldn't have mattered at that point.
No, it shouldn't have. And there are so many instances like that throughout this film that you have to stop and wonder, like, they didn't answer a lot of questions about who's sending all of these Terminators back.
Right, there is that question, because they're like, well, who sent the original T-800 back to 1977 when Sarah was a young child? That's never answered in the movie, which presumably leaves all these open points for future movies to say, oh, well, here's the story where we send this Terminator back in time, and oh, here's the story where we send this Terminator back in time.
It seems like the never-ending Terminator story that I can't imagine people are still going to care about, because it seems like the same thing over and over. Because so we have the T-800 Arnold that goes back. There's
the T-1000.
There's another T-1000, and isn't there another? Wasn't there? Oh no! Now I'm just thinking of John Connor,
right? Which is Skynet.
So he went back himself,
right?
But then there's still that other T-1000, and then Arnold, unaccounted for. It's just like, and do you need to do a whole story about? I mean,
I think
the T-800 maybe, but I mean, come on now.
I think this is one of those things where it's better not to ask those kind of questions.
I mean, that's probably
because the story is very problematic. I mean, it really, really is problematic. In if you think about it linearly, it makes sense to a point. But then it kind of falls apart when you start saying, well, if this happened, then that happened, and logically this shouldn't happen unless you are now in an alternate timeline, in which case none of that even matters. Unless the end reveal is, oh, Skynet's still alive, but Skynet shouldn't be alive because they blew it all up. So it's wonky, and it's not a good movie. And I think audience has kind of shown that when you have a movie like Inside Out that dominated the weekend. I think it barely edged out Jurassic World. Jurassic World still beat Terminator Genesis. And I don't even know how much money. I think it only made,
I haven't even checked the box office for this. I was surprised.
You tell me some of the big plot holes that you had.
Oh, big plot holes. I was thinking today and reading some stuff. So they say that you can only go back with your organic skin.
Right.
And that's why they always have to get nicky-nicky before they get into the time machine.
Right.
But John Connor went back, and he's all, what is he, metal? He's like a weird metal thing.
He's integrated. Yeah. He's like a ferrous metal kind of thing, which would mean that the actual cells are wrapped around the ferrous material.
Right.
So
Maybe
it should work that way.
So what about the T-1000? Because they're not organic skin at all. They're just a liquid metal.
That's a whole... Maybe they found a way around that. I forget how they explained it in T2.
Did they explain it?
I'm guessing they had to have because it was another time travel bit.
True.
But maybe people just didn't question it because it looked like skin until he was doing this morphing effect stuff. So,
I don't know. Things like that.
Well, the biggest problem that I have is let's drive up into the San Francisco Hills, into this secret bunker where we've been storing all these weapons for decades, and good job, Terminator. And then he does his weird smile thing. And then John Connor shows up. It's like, well, I thought this was supposed to be hidden. Well, would it make sense if the mom had explained to the son at some point about what had happened? Then stuff starts blowing up and they run outside and there's like all these biker gangs and school buses. Yes. And it's like, where the hell are these people?
Yes.
That none of this was addressed until things start blowing up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe if you're from San Francisco, maybe this is a landmark or something that has some significance. But if it's being visited frequently, why would you use that as a source of your weapons cache, right?
Yeah. And continue on from that scene, I just need to talk about two things. One... It's like, how many more times in films and blockbusters are we going to see trailers or school buses flip end on end?
Right.
Like, I don't, even the way that they dropped the axle to make the thing flip, I don't think should have worked. Because they dropped it, like they're going forward and they dropped the axle like this.
Mm-hmm.
So it should have flipped like backwards. It was very strange. I was just like,
I could see it flip up in the air the way it did, but the flip end over end like that, tip to tip,
is insane.
No, it would not happen. And then the fact to land perfectly on, actually, if it was going to flip that way, it probably would have landed more on the front because that's where the engine and the most of the weight is. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we all know when you look at a school bus, it's mostly just a flatbed truck with a very thin aluminum shell wrapped around it.
Not much there.
And for it to have survived all those flips, generally unscathed seems rather odd.
Yes. But then the only other thing that I think is almost more troubling, but I give a pass to because I just assume a T-800 is very heavy, is Arnold is driving his own car down to the bridge.
Right.
And he starts swinging it out. Oh, it's after he took the police car.
Yeah.
He went floppy, went head first through a car, just only his head.
Right.
Takes the car, right?
Right.
So then he's driving it. And he does a cool guy, slide in the thing.
And then he's getting out.
And he
out
just walks
the,
out of the car as this movement. It's like, no.
It was kind of a cool,
it was kind of cool
visually, but
not how
from the physics side,
work.
No. It's kind of like in, what was that movie, Wanted, with Angelina Jolie. And she comes whipping around, and he's about to fall or something. She just opens the door and kind of scoops him inside without, like, breaking his calf.
Anything.
His lower leg or anything like that. So there's a lot of problems from that. But I think sometimes when we look at movies, and movies maybe like Terminator, maybe like San Andreas, it's one where don't question the logic of it. Just watch it for the cool things. Have you ever seen the Transporter movies with Jason Statham?
No.
Watch the first one because it's really good. And it seems like that with a lot of movies. The first one's really good, and the second one, third one, just kind of
taper off.
Or else they try to, again, shellac it and make it and amp it up really good. But there's a lot of questionable logic things that happen in both of those movies, the Transporter movies, three movies, that it's just like, I'm not even going to think about it because it's so crazy. Or even look at a movie like Crank. Have you ever seen Crank?
Isn't the one
that's
where
also with Jason Statham where he has to keep himself alive? Yeah. And then don't ever watch Crank 2 because it's just stupid as all get out. But it, you know, it's just like, let's make this bigger, stronger, faster, better.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I'm thinking when I walked out of this, as much as I would like to forget about Salvation, as much as I would like to forget about T4 Rise of the Machines, they should have just rebooted the franchise with something completely different.
That's what I was thinking. And I wanted to ask you why, because we just watched Jurassic World, not a great movie, but I think better than this.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't reboot Jurassic Park. They have kind of continued on the story after a time jump, and they've had a lot of movies, the fourth one in the series.
Mm-hmm.
What made that at least work better than Terminator Genesis did?
So with Jurassic World, they're making a lot of references to the original, and they're embracing the original and saying, look how great the original was, and we're not shitting on that, pardon the language, but we're not crapping all over that because we know that it's integral to the story.
Mm-hmm.
With many sequels, and Terminator Genesis is exactly that. It's like, what are all the cool things about the original Terminator? Well, the guy walks in the park and they have the conversation about the no laundry tomorrow. Okay, so we got to include that. Then there's a scene where come with me, you want to live. Mm-hmm. That's got to be good. I'll be back. Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to add that in. Then there's that scene at the end of the movie where the Terminator's crawling against all the machines and it's about to get crushed from Sarah Connor. We got to include at least two of those in this movie. Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, oh, well, forget about the original Terminator. What about the thing where the guy's arms turn into blades and he runs real fast? Oh, yeah, we got to include all that.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're doing, and I've said this before, it's like when you're a kid, you maybe were playing with your toys or whatever, or you're playing with a friend and you two come up with this great make-believe story with your toys or your figures, and there's all this action and all these things are going on, and in your mind, this is like the greatest thing ever. And then the next day, you're like, remember how great that was yesterday? Yeah, man, that was great. Let's do that again. Okay, yeah. And you try to recreate all the things, except somehow it's not as fun. And then if you try to do it a third time, it's like, and maybe we should stop playing with these Star Wars figures or something, man, because this just isn't fun anymore. That's what Terminator has become.
Mm.
Let's try to put as many references to the other movies that we can in there. Let's flip some things around, but it's five movies out now.
Yeah.
Or six movies out now.
Something like that.
Terminator 2, 3, 4, Rise of Machines, Genesis. So yeah, this is six movies.
Is there a four? Or is four Rise of Machines?
Rise of Machines was four. Yeah. And then Salvation.
Oh, Salvation.
Yeah. I maybe know this is the fifth one. Sorry.
Fifth.
Yeah. One, two, three, four, five. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So fifth time around, it's just not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm. What do you think they could have done?
Not made the movie.
Just not made the movie?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how much Arnold is paying now for child support or whatever, or alimony to Maria. This just felt like a money grab, right? And it's really weird because we are in this weird zone right now that all of the movies that were really awesome in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, and the 90s are all being remade again, right? I mean, look, we got another Mission Impossible movie coming out. We got new Ghostbusters coming out. We got Terminator, Star Trek. I mean, just go down the list. And it's like new Star Wars movies are coming out. It's just like, let's keep bringing back the 90s again. And some of these movies really don't need to be made. And this is one that, like I said about the last movie that we watched, that was a Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Didn't need to be remade.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't need to be remade at all. This movie, according to Box Office Mojo, now over a week, well, this is a week as of this recording,
yeah,
$45 million at the box office, which really, really hurts. And that's, I think that's just domestic. I don't know if it's opened up. Yeah, $45 million, and I'm going to bet against a $200 million budget. Now, worldwide, it's made $131 million, but I'm still betting it had a $200 million budget.
Yeah. So that's not good for them.
No. And it was a July 4th weekend movie.
Yeah,
that should have been
holiday,
big.
Should have, and it opened up against Magic Mike. While it does have a name to
did
it.
Did Magic Mike beat Terminator?
Oh, I don't know. But Terminator and Magic Mike certainly don't operate in the same genre space, so you might have a little bit of audience overlap, but not really.
Only $30 million for Magic Mike.
Hmm. Didn't get great ratings either.
Everybody says it's really funny.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to still see it.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking Jurassic World and Inside Out just for like continue to be this.
Oh, absolutely.
This domination thing. If we look at opening weekends, here's compared to Terminator Salvation. Terminator Salvation in its opening weekend. No, maybe, yeah. Is this opening weekend? Must be. $125 million in its opening weekend. No, that can't be right. That must be its entire box office run.
For what?
Terminator Salvation. Oh, yeah, here it is. Opening weekend for Terminator Salvation, $42 million.
Okay.
Opening weekend for Terminator Genesis, like I said, $45 million. So it actually did a little bit better than
a little bit better
Salvation, but not by much.
Not by much. And it did take a 6-year gap for them to make another Terminator movie.
Well, part of that was Arnold's the governor.
Oh, that's right.
And now, granted, he was not in Salvation except for the very end.
Right.
And there was some question about whether he should be allowed to be in that movie because he was the governor at the time. But even before Rise of the Machines, which he was in, I'm pretty sure, to this one, he was governor and really couldn't do any acting jobs.
I did remember that in the middle of the movie. It's like, should we, like, how much should we acknowledge this guy was a governor and now he's just a robot again? Like, he was a robot and then he was governor, and now he's a robot again. That seems very odd.
Here's the thing that bothers me about the Terminator films is, and it really happened with the second Terminator film, the T-800 is, quote-unquote, bad. Arnold's character is bad, and that's what made the original movie so good, is how do you get away from this unstoppable machine? But everybody loves the Terminator. Everyone's like, oh, man, the Terminator's the same way with Darth Vader, right? Oh, Darth Vader's awesome. The Terminator is awesome. This is awesome. And so what ends up happening is they flip Arnold's character and make him a good guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when it all kind of falls apart.
Yeah, because I think if they would still go on and explore T-800's a bad thing. It's still really designed to destroy humans.
Right.
A few other ideas that were in Genesis, like our phones and technology going to revolt against us one day.
Mm-hmm.
They could have made an interesting theme out of the movie. It seemed like they had an idea going.
Yeah.
And there's like, but you know what would be better? Robots fighting for an hour.
Yeah.
Because they had ideas they could have built, like a thesis on. Even Jurassic World had this kind of meta look at the box office. We're just kind of pulling one over you. That's the whole thing in the film. Good sci-fi has a message when it has a good film.
Don't trust the cloud.
Even something like that, if they just would have pushed it a little bit farther instead of just going guns, explosions, bus flip, more guns, explosions, weird nano things, they could have, I think, made a more compelling film. But they decided to just do explosions.
Yeah.
Which apparently, I was on IMDb, it surprised me because I knew it just had low ratings. User rating, audience rating on IMDb was a 7.1 out of 10 for this film.
Oh, yeah?
Which I find odd, even if you still have a low box office take. Why people, that was like 30,000 votes or something. So it's like, people still love...
I don't think 30,000 people would have seen this movie, do you? Well, I guess maybe for $45 million. Yeah, they would have had to, yeah.
So, it's just... I mean, at one level, I'm like confused on why are these movies still getting made? This one's not even making much of the box office. It's not received very well, but I guess there are just enough people. It's just enough to keep making stuff like this.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess because it's a franchise, and maybe it's all the ancillary stuff that you get out of the franchise, the merchandising stuff that can help cover a lot of this stuff. I don't know what the deal is, but I haven't seen a lot of Terminator Genesis merchandise.
No.
I didn't see a lot of Terminator Salvation merchandise. I haven't seen, I mean, occasionally we'll see Sideshow Collectibles, or we'll see Hot Toys or whoever put out Terminator stuff, but you know, I'm not going to the Walmart and seeing a whole line of Terminator action figures.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you are in your town, listener, but not seeing that at Target either. Now, Loot Crate this month. Yeah. This month was the Terminator crate or the sci-fi crate. So you got a little, T-800, I guess, you know, technically the T-101, but it is the T-800 Cyberdyne model.
Mm-hmm.
You got the little head with that. You got the little chip piece that comes out of the head was a USB drive. I think those were the main two things that came out of the Loot Crate this week from Cyber. But yeah, that's really the only stuff that I've seen hyping up this movie. It's like people are, I don't know, people almost seem embarrassed to be associated with the movie.
Yeah.
I haven't even, I mean, I've paid attention to the stuff online because, you know, we have to do that kind of stuff. I don't always report it because some of it's like, oh, here's a new poster. No big deal.
Yeah.
But there was not a whole lot of press. There was not a whole lot of, there's not a whole lot of nothing going on with this.
Interesting. There is a weird aspect to this film that I wanted to know if you felt.
Okay.
Emilia Clarke, played Sarah Connor.
Sarah Connor.
In this film.
She's also in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Right.
She's Khaleesi.
Yeah. Oh, she is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't
know that.
Khaleesi. I didn't know that.
Mother
of
Dragons.
That's a really I just knew she was in Game of Thrones. I didn't know that was her. That's a really different look than
Josh. She's a super blonde in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, that's cool.
I actually didn't even here's my problem with Emilia Clarke.
Okay.
Is I think she's fine. She's a fine actress. I don't know if she had the best performance in this film.
Well, she has a lot of the same physical features as Linda Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
That's what I kind of noticed, is she fit the body type and the facial structure of Linda Hamilton.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, in this, I'm watching the trailers and stuff. I didn't even recognize it was her, because the hair color was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt she looked so young.
Yeah, she did.
In this.
Yeah.
And I had to do math at one point, because I was talking about how she's supposed to
be in college.
Sexual relations with the other guy that came back.
I guess
they probably said she was in college.
Yeah, they said at the beginning that when you go back, she'll be working as a waitress, looking to pay her rent and pay for college or college loans.
Okay.
I forget.
I must have missed that, because that would have helped me, because is this girl 17, 18?
She looks that way. She looks that way in the movie.
Yeah. Which was really giving me a weird vibe.
Yeah, some kind of a weird, creepy vibe, because she did come off
as very young.
Pre-college. She was...
Yeah.
She was what? What did she say in 77 when the Terminator arrived?
She was nine. Yeah,
so she would be 2 years older than me. So that would mean
she was going to be, I think,
84. She would have been 16 in 84.
But didn't they go back to 87?
Oh, no, it would have been 84, because that's when the original movie
84.
Came out. Yeah. So 84, that'd been 14. And she was 9, so we add 5. Yeah, so she'd be 19. She'd be 19 in this movie.
And I must have reached that conclusion, but it just seems so, because she does look so young.
Yeah, she does.
But then I looked her up.
She's
20, 28, 29, which blew my mind. I didn't think she was any older than 24. After looking at her.
Yeah,
so that
she's
just
29.
Weird.
But it's funny. The funny thing that I found when I was looking at this on IMDb is she wasn't even born when the original Terminator movie came out.
I didn't even think about that.
So, yeah, that. And Jason Clarke. Oh, now he is much older. Oh, no, that's Jason Clarke is John Connor.
Yeah, John Connor.
Jai Courtney.
Yeah.
Was also born in 86. So they're the same age.
Mm. They just certainly don't look like it in this film.
Mm-mm.
Which gave me some weird vibes at some point.
Yeah, and this movie this movie, Terminator Genisys, is rated what? Oh, of course, PG-13.
PG-13, yeah.
The original Terminator, hard R.
Oh, really?
You really need to watch that whole movie through, because it's hard R, and it's really gritty. And even though the special effects, they use a lot of stop motion stuff, which I thought was really cool in the original and miniatures and stuff. There's a lot of nudity not a lot of nudity. There's Arnold naked.
Arnold butt.
And then there's a sex scene between Linda Hamilton and the guy that played Reese in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
This one with Emilia, who's been naked in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That could have easily pop that in. There's a whole scene where they're getting undressed with each other that they could have thrown that in. But I'm not saying that that was something that was needed. I'm just saying that that is another weird aspect between the movies.
And it was weird because how much they kept talking about
you two have to get sex and
be pregnant. But I mean, they address it kind of at one point when he's like, well, are we going to do this? And she's like, no, I don't want to. You're going to die.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of leave it.
Yeah. What'd you think of J.K. Simmons?
I love J.K. Simmons. I thought he was the best character in the whole film. I would like to see a whole movie just his character when he was a cop to that point.
It was really cool. And I thought from a conspiracy angle standpoint that was neat. And apparently, I don't know if it's true or not, online rumors say that he signed for two more Terminator movies.
Oh, really?
Which would be weird.
That would be strange because... Like, what does he do after that? Like, what is his role in any future films besides just the crazy guy that was right? Which is what, Oh, you know, the young pizza guy and Do the Right Thing that was fought with Mookie.
Yeah.
He was in Transformers 2. And
John Turturro.
John Turturro.
Mm-hmm.
He just played that role. And well, he was the crazy guy that thought about there was these aliens and he was right. And then he was in the next one. And he was in it, but he didn't really do a whole lot. He was just kind of this guy that now became famous because he knew there was robots.
Yeah, according to Screen Crush, J.K. Simmons, along with Michael Keaton. What? Oh, recently parted ways with King Kong. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see. Fully committing his role to the frazzled cop. As whether Simmons' O'Brien character survived Genesis, Simmons told Slash Film, yes, we're all told O'Brien does survive. In fact, we went back and did a little added shot on a roof of a whole helicopter sequence to make sure that we see that after Arnold throws me away so that he can save people, I'm one of those that he saves and I'm alive and watching what happens. When asked more pointedly if he's returning to the sequel, Simmons says, I'm signed on, so if there are any sequels, I will, by God, be there.
So they've already said there's going to be a sequel?
No.
No.
They signed him.
Okay.
If there are other sequels.
Gotcha. He'll be there.
He will be there. That's kind of like the whole Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield, you know, signed up for all these sequels.
Oh, yeah.
And that's like, well, we're going in a different direction. We can't use you anymore. Mm-hmm. Here's a truckload of money.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Yeah, so he'll get a truckload of money if they decide to never make any more sequels. Or maybe they could just say, well, we're still working on it and never get around to it.
Oh, sure. Do you think future Terminator movies need to dump Arnold completely?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Totally.
Mm-hmm.
He's too old at this point to do that. I mean, certainly there are a lot of other actors or actresses that could play Terminator. In Terminator 3, it was, I forget what her name was, but she played the TX model.
Mm.
You can find other people to be Terminators.
Mm-hmm. Do you think they should have just, I mean, they had an opportunity. They could have just killed him off in this one if they really wanted to establish
it. You know, they killed him off in T2, but they kept bringing him back for two more movies, three more movies. So, I really think that this is really an indication to the studio that don't make any more.
It's done.
Or if you're going to do it, it better be really, really, really good.
Mm.
This one wasn't really good. I can't recommend people going to see this.
Oh, absolutely not.
Unless you're just a diehard fan of Arnold and Terminator.
But even if you are, you might still be disappointed by this because it's not really a well-put-together film.
I like the two time jumps. I like the fact that we're in 1984, then we're going to jump to 2017. I thought that was very clever, and I thought that was a great way to move things up to a more modern time instead of being stuck in the past for everything. I kind of wish they would have just left everything back in 1984 then, and you know, and just except that would have defeated the whole purpose of the Genesis system and Skynet coming online because now we can destroy Skynet and all that stuff. But I think that's it. I don't think I can watch. And I was really, if we hadn't done this for this show, I would not have gone to see this movie.
Yeah.
Because I was done after the last one, after the Christian Bale one.
Uh-huh.
I was like, no thanks, no more. But they keep doing it.
Did you stick around for apparently?
No, as soon as the credits started rolling, I'm like, I'm out of here. Sorry.
Yeah, I did. I honestly, this is the first movie we've watched this summer.
Oh, no, we did that with Poltergeist, too.
That I could have been like, I'm out. Like, I could have left 30 minutes into this film and not cared and not have felt bad coming into the recording. But I was like, well, I'll just, it's only like 30 more minutes. I'll just stick with it. I mean, I was like looking at my watch. I'm like, how much time? What's just math? How long have I been in here? How long more is this movie going? Speaking of that, did you watch it in 2D or 3D?
2D.
2D.
Did you watch it in 3D?
I did watch it in 3D. That's the time I had to go watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I figured out a trick to our theater. Go watch it in 3D because they project it right.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, it was full screen. It was just rocking. I was so happy.
The problem was, for me, that they overshot the top and bottom of the screen. So it's like every once in a while, if there was anything bright, or like a light at the top of the screen, it was shining on the curtain. I was like, God dang it, these guys. I texted Zach probably 5 minutes into the movie because we didn't go see this together at the same time. I texted Zach and I was like, please, Zach, please become manager of this place so you can get this stuff set up correctly. Because there's no reason for it to be
like that.
No.
No.
I mean, I think audiences would care less about having... I mean, when we watched San Andreas, we were missing part of the left and right side of the screen.
Yeah.
In this movie, you could have had side columns, and I don't think the audience would have cared. There were only seven of us in the theater at the time.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody would have cared.
I only had four. There are only three other people in my theater.
And how was the 3D?
3D, I was actually just fine with the 3D. I thought it was used well. I don't think it was overdone. I thought there was nothing that shot out at me, which I was happy about. At least they reserved themselves
that. Did you ever go to the Universal Park, or was it Universal? Yeah, Universal Theme Park with the Terminator ride. Remember, you'd go in and it was like you were
part
of the
Terminator ride.
And at one point, the T-800 head comes flying out into the audience and is looking at you. Yeah.
I didn't get to see that one.
Yeah.
I did go to Universal one time, though. It was great. I was almost into film, and I honestly had kind of forgotten that it was 3D because there wasn't things shooting out. I think the best stuff was probably some of the fire embers going out, and they would just create depth every once in a while, but they didn't go insane. And in a movie where it was all just about guys fighting robots and robots fighting robots, you would have thought that they would start going crazy with the 3D, but they were fairly reserved in the use of it.
Yeah. Okay, so here it is. Mid-credit scene revealing that Skynet's system core survived Cyberdyne's destruction.
Oh, great.
Leaves room for the filmmakers to further toy with the timeline.
Great. Great. How many timelines do you think there's been since the start of the Terminator movie?
I think only three.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did they really just start jacking with them with this movie?
Yeah, this one is the one where it was really apparent because in Terminator 2, John Connor's already born, mom's disappeared and gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Then in Terminator 3... No, she's and then in Terminator 3, he's much older, and he gets locked into the bunker when the nukes go off at the end. Then in 4, it is post-apocalypse.
Right.
And just fighting the Terminators and finding out who John Connor is and that kind of stuff. And this is the one where they're really like, okay, let's go back in time and do all this other stuff. So, yeah.
That's crazy. That's the only, I didn't see this scene. But knowing there's a possibility, that's the only way you could say, oh, let's do more Terminator movies, if you just kept Skynet around somehow.
Yeah. Well, and that's my thought was Skynet, Genesis in this movie is all about the cloud. Put everything on the cloud. Everything's connected. I mean, we're all with that right now with our iCloud storage and Dropbox and all of this
stuff. Didn't it seem strange that it's like Genesis, the greatest thing that's ever? It's like, so that thing we have now is the greatest thing ever? Because it pretty much sounds just what we have.
Hey, Siri, can you find the nearest, this whole week it was like, hey, Siri, can you find me the nearest blank blank store? And it like couldn't do that. So I have no fear that Skynet will ever come online anytime soon. But here's the thing. It's a movie about everything going up to the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
Even Apple has backup systems located around the world in secure locations, right? So yeah, blow up Cyberdyne, right? Go ahead and just blow it all the heck up. I guarantee you the CEO would come out the next day and say, this is a terrible tragedy. Fortunately, no lives were lost or very few lives were lost. For all of our investors who have raised billions of dollars and for all of you waiting for the billions of dollars to come, we're going to be down for about 2 months.
Yeah.
Everything's backed up on the cloud because that's what we're toting. And you'll get your Genesis / Skynet in 2 months.
I would like to see a crossover with Terminator. Just Genesis and Silicon Valley. It's like, don't worry, we're using a middle-aught compression. It's going to be so fast when it comes out in 2 months. It'll be great.
The science in science fiction is oftentimes so freaking bonkers, especially when it comes to people trying to explain computers.
Yeah. That's why Interstellar was so great last year.
Yeah, it was.
Because it was science.
They did the real science
and fiction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie, not so much.
No, unfortunately. But, they can't all be winners. Inside Out was so good. Like, the fates of the blockbuster had to dump a crap one on our head.
Have we seen anything good this year besides Inside Out?
Mad Max.
Mad Max was good, yes.
Avengers was not
mediocre.
Great. Then
I was cold on it. I guess I wasn't
that great on it.
Yeah.
Then we watched Slow West. That wasn't
Slow
bad.
West was it, was, it was interesting. Yeah, it was really good.
It was
good.
Not a blockbuster
film.
Yeah,
no, it wasn't a blockbuster film, but it was a movie that we watched.
Was bad.
It was really bad.
This was horrible.
Yeah.
I think that's all we've watched.
Let's see.
Oops.
I'm in the wrong spot. Zach on film, not Zach plays. Haven't seen those in a long time.
No. Nope.
Hint, hint, nudge, nudge. Let's see. Inside Out was great. Jurassic yep. World. Yeah,
oh,
it was all right.
World. It was okay.
Low West was good. San Andreas, Poltergeist, yeah. Mad Max Fury Road.
Avengers.
Yes, Avengers.
San Andreas, I came around on with your explanation of destruction movies. I was like, well, it wasn't as horrible mm-hmm. if you just could look at it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just crazy destruction times.
And I'm trying to think. We did see Chappie. That was before the summer, though.
Yeah.
But Chappie really, wasn't that great.
No, Chappie wasn't great.
So I think we've only seen one.
Jupiter Legacy was Jupiter Rising or Ascending, yeah. whatever it was. It was horrible.
It was awful.
It was bad.
So I don't think we've really seen any good movies. I mean, there have been things that have been blockbusters, like Jurassic World just continues to rake in the money. But I think Inside Out is probably the only movie that has really been truly good.
Yeah, because you didn't really like Mad Max very much, did you?
I thought it was good for what it was.
Yeah.
And I thought it was really solid.
Yeah.
And I thought everything was just really great. It's just a movie that I really don't care to see again because of the grotesque factor.
Sure.
And yeah, I think that was the main thing that I didn't care for.
I think Inside Out is the most rewatchable.
Yes.
Best film of the
year. And
the
boys have
so
asked about seeing that again.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You know, it is on iTunes now, but it never came to our theater. Was Ex Machina.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. Was it good? I heard a lot of good things.
It was different.
Yeah.
It made you think.
Mm-hmm.
The ending was not what I expected, but then on reflection, I was like, okay, it makes total sense for what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's weird. It's a little different. It's like the twisted version of Her.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
I like it.
So it was interesting. It was some good special effects and everything. I would actually say if you had a choice between watching robot movies,
yeah,
I would pick Ex Machina ahead of Terminator.
As far as
the better movie.
Well,
yeah, I actually watched that.
Oh, like the first Terminator you're saying?
No, this Terminator Genesis. Okay, yeah. See Ex Machina over Terminator Genesis.
Yeah.
It was really good. I mean, I watched it on Saturday night, I think. Yeah. We had come back from Kansas City and it was good.
Good.
Yeah.
You also watched Kingsman this year. You liked Kingsman, didn't you?
I thought it was good, again, as a take on James Bond and in a more R-rated version of James Bond. Yeah, it was good.
So are you looking forward to anything else for the summer? Ant-Man?
Well, this weekend we have Minions and Selfless. Selfless, the more I read about it, the more that looks somewhat interesting, but still doesn't look great.
Yes. The more I didn't really... Hearing about Selfless made me interested in seeing Selfless.
Right.
Seeing a trailer for Selfless
did not make me
want to watch it at all.
So we got Minions, which we'll probably see this weekend because the kids want to see it.
Good.
Also The Gallows, which I'm not interested in seeing that. Although I did get It Follows.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
I've got it.
Yeah, I want to watch it.
Then Ant-Man is what I'm really looking forward to. That's also the same weekend as Trainwreck. And unfortunately, as much as you want to see Trainwreck, I don't think it's going to do very good in that box office opening weekend because now suddenly people are like, oh, Ant-Man's a caper film. Oh, I'm all in on this.
Yeah.
So one will blow everybody out of the water.
I think they picked a bad weekend to open Trainwreck on. It's even Judd Apatow directing. So he might be one of his worst openings.
Maybe. Well, maybe. I don't know. Then the 24th, we have
Smosh, baby.
Zach and I will be getting incredibly drunk as we watch that movie and record it for you.
I think we should set up like two GoPros.
We can do that.
Let's do it.
We can do that because it will be sad.
I told Aubrey when we were texting that night, you texted me like you pre-ordered it. And when we were talking about what we wanted to do, I told Aubrey, I was just laughing so hard thinking about it. She's like, oh, so I'm going to have to come pick you up.
Watch out, I can drive
home. You're going to pick me up.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think it was Friday when we were coming home. I was like, oh, man, either Aubrey's going to have to come and get Zach or we're going to have to drive Zach home.
Oh, yeah, I'll just have her drop me off and then come get me an hour and a half later and just be smashed.
So I think that's... And then there's Mission Impossible, which, again, Mission Impossible movies aren't great, but they are one of those that's kind of fun. And then Fantastic Four, which I'm looking forward to. So we've got... Even though I hate Smosh, I'm looking forward to that only from the look at the accident on the highway factor.
Sure.
But Ant-Man, definitely. Mission Impossible, okay. Fantastic Four, definitely. And then that's it, I think.
That's it.
Yeah.
The only other thing I'm looking forward to after that is...
Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
No, Compton.
Oh, Straight Outta Compton.
Straight Outta Compton,
that comes
yeah.
out on the 14th of August.
Yeah, I think that there's something to that. I think it looks good.
Is that the NWA story?
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be cool. Oh, did you see the trailer for Creed?
I came in at the very end of it, like halfway through it. But that
trailer looked really good.
Yeah.
And it's not until halfway through that trailer does Sylvester Stallone show up.
Uh-huh.
But it's like, I want to see Creed, even though I'm not a big fan of the Rocky movies. The first Rocky movie is good.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of want to see Creed.
I do. I like Michael B. Jordan, and I've heard, yeah. I've been wanting to watch Fruitvale Station, which is what he was in and has some of his like highest accolades for acting. I think it won some like independent film circuit awards.
Oh, really?
I've heard it's very good.
I haven't seen anything about that.
It's old. It's came out a couple years
before
ago.
Chronicle?
Maybe around the same time as Chronicle.
Okay.
If I'm thinking right. But it's been on my list of things to grab off iTunes for a while.
Okay.
But I'm really, because I think Michael B. Jordan, everyone that I've talked to has good things to say about Michael B. Jordan. One of my friends said he was really good in Friday Night Lights, the TV show. He was in that.
Oh, I've never watched that show.
I never did either. And they said he was really good on that.
Yeah. So the most recent Reynolds, It Follows, I haven't watched. Ex Machina, I've got and watched. I don't see anything else that says new and noteworthy.
There's one other thing, and I don't remember the first word because it's a girl's name, but it's like the treasure hunter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The animated, it's not animated. No, but it's a international film.
Yeah, international film.
It's available now on Vimeo, and I think it is available
On
iTunes because yeah. I did watch the trailer for that, and I was like, oh, yeah, that does look really, really interesting. Kumioko?
Yeah.
Oh, Kumiko, the treasure hunter. Yeah, that one does look interesting. And I almost watched it, but then it almost seemed a little bit too weird in some of the things that were going on. So I was like, maybe I better just not do that until I'm in a right frame of mind.
Sure.
But yeah. So
there's still some hope to this summer. What kind of pull
I mean,
out of the dumps?
Well, look, Disney has already made this summer $3 billion off of Avengers.
Yeah.
And what was the Pixar movie, Inside Out.
Inside Out.
They've made $3 billion this year.
It's amazing.
I'm going to bet that by the end of the summer, this will be one of the better summers for movie theaters.
Oh, absolutely, because you have Fast and the Furious 82 or whatever that was.
Yeah.
That was the fastest ever to get to $1 billion.
Yeah.
And then you have Avengers coming out 2 weeks later who did really well at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Jurassic Park is just smashing the box office and it's going up right against Inside Out.
Yep.
So you've had a lot of contenders for box office weekends. I think more than probably past years, even though we had some pretty big things out, it seemed like there wasn't as much battle for the top box office each week. And you're looking at Jurassic Park, that's been out for almost a month now.
Yeah, almost a month, yeah.
Inside Out's been out for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and you would think Terminator, Magic Mike have some star power, certainly. At least Magic Mike. Terminator has name power and then star power Schwarzenegger.
Right.
That they would have done a little bit better. But Jurassic Park and Inside Out were just so good.
I don't know how it was where you were at. I guess you were in Hayes by the end of the 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
But the weather was pretty good across the country as far as I remember. So,
yeah.
4th of July weekend, if it's really nice, people are outside. If
Absolutely.
It's too hot, too rainy, then people are going to be driven to the movie theater. So, but still, in the morning, you want to go see a movie, and then in the afternoon, blow stuff up. And certainly Terminator makes you want to go blow stuff up.
That's true. That movie would make you go blow things
up. Put a
up.
Gun to my head and blow out everything that I remember about it. But Ant-Man, God, that movie's going to rock, I think.
Do you think so now?
I think it's going to be dumb silly, but I think it's going to be fun silly.
Fun silly. So you think more dumb silly than Guardians or about that same
I think
level.
It's going to be about the same level. There's one character that I saw a trailer today on. I was like, he's really dumping into the really stupid territory.
Oh, yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay.
But I mean, it's coming up for a whole caper. And the latest trailer that was released earlier this week was straight up, this is a caper. And they're like, you know, do the whole little four slashes down the center of the screen where you got this guy is this guy, this guy is this job, this guy is this job, and this guy's Ant-Man. So yeah, I can expect to see a lot of that.
I mean, I'm more excited for it than I thought it would be after the whole director debacle.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good. That'll be coming out in two weeks. Ant-Man next week. What are we gonna do?
Well, we can either go see Magic Mike or we can just do a general topic show. It's up to you.
We'll talk about it and see what everyone else wants to do. Okay. And we'll go with that. So that's going to wrap it up for the... just like, do you have a rating? Give it out of five for
Terminator.
Out of five?
Two?
Two?
Yeah.
That seems fair. Not horrible. It's not... It's certainly below average.
It's below mid, yeah.
Yeah, way below average for a film. Mm-hmm. I would give it two.
I wouldn't recommend people see it, but...
Absolutely not. There's
two.
Way better things to go rewatch or
go see the original Terminator. Seriously.
There you go. So that's it for this episode of Zach on Film. Head over to MajorSpoilers.com where you can give your thoughts on Terminator Genisys if you braved that film in theaters. You can do that in the comic section there on the podcast posting page. While you're there, why don't you head over to Amazon.com? Use that shopping link. I've been doing that, buying some books and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
It's not going to cost you any extra, guys.
No.
It's not going to cost you any extra if you use that link. But a little bit will come back to Major Spoilers to help this whole system stay afloat and keep running to keep you giving you good content each and every week and each and every day. It's crazy how much is happening on the website.
Crazy.
So that's it for this week. We'll see you next week on Zach on Film.
This podcast is copyright 2015 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.